Welcome to NorAm Assets, Your Money, with Danny Stewart.
You never know how far the stock is going to go down.
And Tim Razor.
Danny knows I'm a geek for all of this stuff.
If you're seeking the best stock knowledge this side of Wall Street, you've come to the right place.
I'm sorry, did I steal your stuff?
No, you didn't steal any thunder. Who's handling this segment?
For the next hour, Danny and Tim will be talking investing.
Investing is 90% psychological, and I love that.
Trades.
The market will usually overshoot to the downside and to the upside.
And dumpster fires.
When do you say, my principal loss isn't worth the dividends I'm getting?
And now, here's your hosts, Danny and Tim.
Probably not the way I wanted to sound starting off the new year, stock nerds and market lovers. As you can tell, the voice is not where it's supposed to be. This is Tim Razor. I am without Danny Stewart. No Danny Stewart this week, but I have Don Vandenborg, the portfolio extraordinaire, with me here, live, not in studio, but from historic St. Augustine, Florida, which got down to 27 degrees the other day. Is that right, Don?
That is absolutely correct and kind of hard to believe.
Oh, it's awesome. Well, hell's freezing over because the Jags are in the playoffs. So
is that, you know what? You might be right about that.
That's exactly what's happening. People don't realize it. And Al Roker sure as hell isn't going to report it, but that's what exactly has happened. Jags make the playoffs. Bortles going to be the NFL MVP and hell is freezing over. So Stockner.
Two of those three might be true.
Yes, yes. So, and we're not telling you which one.
You sound like the weather in the Northeast.
It's awful. Yeah, well, I picked this up heading to the Northeast or in the Northeast. So, yay me. So here we go, stock nerds. I don't know how long we're going to go. I have some things I want to cover. Don does as well. As a duo, we want to go over some things with you because a lot of you, from your personal correspondence with both Don and myself, we get the sense that a lot of you stock nerds out there and market lovers across the globe entered the market in 2018, either mostly in cash or some of you, God bless, short. And kind of not the place to be this week, but you know that. And so what we want to do is we want to talk about some things that are setting up that you haven't missed the move. Look, the market's open 252 times a year. You haven't missed the move. It's finding the strategic entry point things, and then we're going to help you do that a little bit. But the jobs report is interesting to me, and I usually don't want to talk about a jobs report when Jobs Friday comes around at the beginning of every month. But I think what's interesting about this jobs report is at first it was thought to be not good because it was below the 180, 190 consensus. It came in at, 148,000 jobs. Not included in those jobs, Don, and I don't know how many people know this, are the Amazon warehouse workers, which makes, right, it kind of doesn't make sense, and it's a BLS acknowledged problem, Bureau of Labor and Statistics problem. They're not included in retail, meaning, so, right.
So the jobs supporting the biggest retailer are not included in retail. Got
yeah,
it.
Right.
Sounds like government.
And they're not included in warehouse and transportation. And so that is very interesting. I don't know where they're – so the BLS doesn't know where they're included. And so if one of the biggest employers out there isn't included in a jobs report, that seems a little troubling. So that's one issue. So the jobs report is obviously on Friday. If you followed the market on Friday, has been warmly recepted. Even with the 148,000 jobs, the 3-month average or the yearly average, excuse me, is 205,000 jobs per month. That's a big deal. November private sector, this is an even bigger deal. November private sector jobs got increased from about 220,000 to 239,000. And you got to understand, folks, the variance on this jobs report is plus or minus a gazillion. It's not accurate to the nearest tenth, so to speak. It's got a wide variance, and so there's upgrades to the reports and sometimes downgrades to the report. And so private sector got upgraded in November. That's a big deal. That's people coming off the sidelines and going to work and putting money back into the economy, taxes being paid on that money. And for some of those jobs, 401ks and IRAs being invested in. And I covered this a little bit with Michael Sevier on The Bottom Line, which is a radio show we do about every other Wednesday out of Nebraska. And a lot of people want to know what's going to drive the market in 2018. And, you know, Don and I will have this discussion. Oh, that's what drove the market in 2018. That's what drove it higher or drove it lower, you know, with the clarity of hindsight. But if you ask me right now, which I was asked last Wednesday, what drives the market higher is it's people having money in their pockets from their taxes, and it's actually getting better jobs that have 401ks, and having that money being passively invested through the use of mutual funds and ETFs. And I just want to get your thoughts on that, Don.
Average hourly wages were positive in this report also, and that's another. In fact, they outpaced CPI for the first time in a while, and that speaks to the point that you just made with people having more money in their pocket. You spend it.
Yeah, we're a nation of spenders. And so you've got a job expansion. You've got wage expansion, hopefully, that continues throughout the year. And then a big one, and we've talked about it a number of times here on the show, is you have this Obamacare penalty being dissolved. And whether or not you're for or against Obamacare, it's not a political statement or discussion we're having. It's the fact that the Obamacare penalty took out about the equivalent of a holiday season from the economy. So imagine if this holiday season, this Christmas season, was a bust and it didn't exist. What would that do to retail? What would that do to the economy? It would tank it. Well, over the course of the last 3 years, you've had a Christmas season removed from the economy. That is such a big deal.
You're the first person I've heard talk about that, Tim, but that's a great point.
I mean, it's a tremendously large amount of money. And the people that are taking the Obamacare penalty or had to take it, I mean, let's not be callous. I mean, I think most people would want health insurance. It was just too damn expensive. And so they said, we can't afford it. So then they got charged a penalty, which for money to which they didn't have. And now you're going to put back upwards of $2,100 in a family of four's pockets. There's a lot that could be done with that money. Let me give you a little bit more perspective. A lot's being made of the companies like American Air, JetBlue, Honeywell, Comcast, to name a few, that are giving $1,000 bonuses to all the Southwest Airlines, that are giving $1,000 bonuses to their employees. Now, not every company in America is going to be giving a $1,000 bonus, but imagine you work for a company that gives you some raise, some bonus because of tax money, of tax relief. And then you don't have to pay the Obamacare penalty. And then starting in the next 3 weeks, you know, on February 1st, the first paychecks of February, you'll see more money in your pocket because not so much is being taken out for tax. Look, that is a tremendous boon to the spending economy of America. Now, you can disagree with the tax cuts, you can disagree with how the law came about. You can disagree with Congress. You can disagree with the deficit it's going to create. There's a lot of things you can disagree with, but I don't think the one thing you can disagree with is how much money is going to go into the economy from people when they have some money in their pockets. And that, my friends, is a tremendous boom for stocks. And not every stock, but a number of stocks. And hopefully, when Don and I both went into the start of the new year, we run 5 different portfolios. I'll save my voice and let Don tell you about them in a few minutes here at the shop at Revere. And I'm 99.9% certain we both went in fully invested heading into the new year. I mean, we always keep a modicum of cash on the sidelines, but I mean, you have to understand what's going on. But that doesn't mean, I'm a perma bull. Don's a perma bull. We're certainly not perma bears. That's self-fear. Ron Paul, David Stockman, talking to you. It just means that we acknowledge that we're going to have corrections. We're going to have a correction in 2018. I don't know when. And what we're going to do is that most corrections give you signs. They say topping is a process. And so you get things that we've talked about the last 4 or 5 weeks on the podcast. You get distribution into the market, which is high volume selling by the people that matter. You get some things breaking down that we look for, some key things. And then we start to raise cash and we get ready for the next cycle. Some people will say, why don't you just stay invested the whole time? And it's these little known stats that we don't share that often, but we know them. That, you know, only one out of four former leading stocks is going to come back to lead the next market cycle. So if you're a buy and holder, or you just think you're going to ride out any corrections, well, how do you know the stocks that you have are going to be the ones that lead the next cycle higher? I mean, ask somebody who was in Microsoft from 99 to 2015. You know, how many people died holding Microsoft, waiting for it to come back? And so, yeah. And who would have sold Microsoft at 99, right? That was a stock. If you read Money Magazine or Kiplinger's Personal Finance, stocks to hold for the next millennium, Microsoft. Never to be sold. Well,
you know, from an inflation standpoint, the NASDAQ has still not made a new high from 2000 when you factor in inflation.
Great point. That's a fantastic point. And the other point here to be made is, what is it costing you in terms of opportunity? While you're sitting in a laggard waiting for it to come back, resolute in your resolve, what are you missing out on? And the fundamentalist will always be behind in this because the fundamentals lag by a quarter. The only place to see rotation is on a chart. The only place to see when to harvest profits, when to nip losses, keep them small, is on a chart. And those that are unable to read the charts, they are bound to futility when the market trades sideways and corrections come. And that's the way it's been for time immemorial. So if you're curious as to Don, do you mind running through the strategies here in a second? But if you're curious to how we sell and what we sell, we're more than happy to share it with you. We covered it the last four podcasts. But you're going to need a sell strategy sometime, in 2018. And it'll probably be very vicious. And then the next round will get set up. But Don, do you mind covering the strategies real quick?
Sure. We've got, as you mentioned, five different ones, but they all have one thing in common. And that's a sell discipline. There's not a single strategy or a single holding within any of our strategies where we do not have some sort of a target exit point. And that target is determined when we buy the stock, when we buy the ETF, when the money goes into the market, it's determined. Because William O'Neill, one of the legends of the market that a lot of our rules are based on, is fond of saying all stocks are bad unless they go up. And, you know, Warren Buffett is on the other end of the spectrum as far as being a value investor versus William O'Neill being a growth investor. But Warren Buffett's number one rule is also don't lose money. And that's the foundation of the selling strategy, the selling rules that we have in place for everything that we have in the market. So, all five portfolios, but those all have one common thread. And the portfolios vary from very aggressive, which is called our protection portfolio. That's where we have, it's the most active portfolio. And it's a combination of stocks and sector ETFs showing relative strength and also some ETFs that are broad but are working with, for example, TNA, which is the triple small cap, or DDM, which is the double Dow ETF. So we try try to get some extra juice into the most aggressive ones by using ETFs like that. The second most aggressive is a combination stock ETF, but it's just less trading. It has a little bit of a longer time horizon. Things will get held a little bit longer. The third portfolio is our ETF sector rotation, which is all ETFs. Basically, we monitor over 100 ETFs and sectors, and when some start to show relative strength, we rotate them into the portfolio at the expense of some things that are starting to show some weakness. The fourth one is one that seems to be very popular lately with some people that are approaching retirement, and that's called blue chip income. And it is just what the name implies. It's a combination of blue chip stocks pulled from, it's diversified across the 10 sectors that the S&P 500 is broken into. And then it's also a combination of some higher yielding ETFs. We try to have it yield between 3.5% and 4.5%. That varies at times depending on, for one thing, if the capital appreciation aspect of it is going up, the yield's going to drop. But it's combination capital appreciation from blue chip stocks and a healthy yield. And then the fifth and least trading and least aggressive is called Robotech. And it's Revere's answer to the robo-advisors, where robo-advisors want you to fill out a risk tolerance questionnaire, and then they spread your money across several broad asset classes, not sectors, but asset classes. For example, domestic stocks, international stocks, emerging market stocks, domestic bonds, international bonds, real estate, investment trusts, commodities, gold, energy. So they are going to allocate it, and they're just going to kind of set it and forget it. They'll rebalance it periodically, but there's no sell discipline whatsoever. Ours is called Robotection because we've got the robo aspect from the 8 broad asset classes, but we've also got the protection standpoint that, again, every asset class in there has a situation where we'll pull the ripcord and we won't see the 50% losses that were experienced from 2000 to 2002 and 2007 to 2009. Well, so, again, the common thread is the sell strategy and 5 different portfolios. There's pretty much something for everybody in there. And
most shops. I'm sorry, Don.
No, solid 2017 for all of them. Some of them are newer than others. Robotech and Blue Chip Income are newer, but good results we had in 2017.
You know, and most shops don't have sell disciplines. A number of you will go interview advisors or talk to people, and it's a foreign concept to leave the market, and the dirty secret is that most people don't get paid unless they're invested, and that's not the case here at Revere. And then the other thing, too, is that a number of you, as we start off 2018, have advisors that employ mutual funds, and you are getting raked over the coals with your mutual fund fees, and it's something that needs to be addressed. We do a lot of portfolio evaluations for folks, by the way. If you'd like a portfolio evaluation or you'd like to become a client of the firm, you like the videos that we do. If you watch the videos at revereasset.com, every night Don or I put out a video. If you like the strategies to which we espouse here in the podcast, just email any one of us. Danny, who's not here, Dan at Revere Asset. I'm Tim at Revere Asset, and of course, Don at Revere Asset. Or you always give us a call at 855-REAL-WEALTH. Gosh, man, my voice is absolutely killing me. But
Tim, that let me step in here. That last one that you did, that you presented to me and Danny, I was in disbelief. I had never seen a portfolio come in where every single ETF, or I'm sorry, every single mutual fund had a higher than 2% fee.
Yeah, I'd never seen that.
So not only are you paying the manager fees, I looked at it. I said, this can't be right. I pulled up a couple of them Morningstar, and sure enough, every single one, 2% or higher, plus the fee for the account advisor. I was really in disbelief, and hidden costs. I'm sure the guy that owned them had no idea.
Yeah, because you trust the advisor. The sad part is a number of you are doing business with your family or who you think are your close friends, and they're taking advantage of you with these fees. Most what can be done in the mutual fund, you can find in an ETF. and which typically has lower fees. And it's just a sin and a doggone shame what we come across. But these fees in your IRAs, you have to. If you don't want to do the work or you can't find the information, email us. Give us a call. We'll do it for you. We have the tools to do it. We'll be more than happy to do it. And then one last thing here before we're doing an abbreviated show. Obviously, I am losing my voice. I just want to talk very quickly before I turn it over to Don and we talk a little bit of sector action. I always find it interesting when people always want to talk about the hottest stock or a stock tip or they want to know what to buy, what's setting up to buy. And rarely do people ever start out with asking me, or I don't think it's this way for Don either. Rarely does anybody ever say, Tim, how do you sell properly? And listen, as you start off 2018, I think that's the skill. If you're not good at it, that's the skill to master, is harvesting your gains before they become losses, keeping losses small, and understanding the signaling that the indices will give you when it's time to start exiting the market. It's such a big deal. And if you don't believe me, I've done classes on this for a number of years. Most markets will retrace about half of their move. And so think about that. If the move in NASDAQ was what, 30%, Don?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if most markets retrace half of their moves, and it doesn't even matter the index, you'll see the pattern in stocks, you'll see the pattern in bonds, commodities, you'll see the pattern in the indexes. And if you're going to retrace about half of your move, why do you have to participate in that? There's a better way. And the answer that you give me, saying something to the effect of, well, it'll just come back. Well, look, I gave you all the reasons why I'm bullish to start off 2018, but that doesn't mean something can't change. And so we're not that we're active traders here every day in the pits firing off trades. No. We just have a sell discipline and we protect the client's money. And if you don't, I think that's the skill to master. And starting off with how to sell properly, I think, is the biggest thing you can start to learn in 2018. If you have any questions on that, just Tim at Revere Asset, Dan at Revere Asset, Don at Revere Asset. We all have email addresses like that. Or just give us a call at 855 Real Wealth. And then I want to turn it over to Don and talk about a little sector action and then also get to the good, bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, and Tim, I just want to reiterate what you said. It's the five most important words that any investor has to ask somebody that they're interviewing for managing their portfolio. What is your sell strategy? If they don't have one, turn and run the other way, because those are the guys that suffered from PTSD from 07 to 09, where their clients were calling them up every day. And how many times do you think the client heard, I think we're close to the bottom. I think we're close to the bottom. Down 20%, down 25%, down 30, 35, 40, 45%. And then, you know, how many threw in the towel once you hit minus 50%, and then that ended up being the bottom. And then you're afraid to get back in because of what you just suffered. Again, we're not fear mongers. We're not perma anything here. We had a long discussion with Danny in the summer of 2016, where he said, this rally is long in the tooth, and maybe not. Go by price. That's the only thing that pays. Go by what the moving averages are doing. Go by what sector rotation is telling you.
Yeah.
Go by what the balance in your account is telling you. You don't go outside when it's raining without an umbrella. You know, just the same way there's clouds in the sky, your portfolio and the markets give off different, very similar signals. You just have to know what to look for.
The move, if you look at a monthly chart, I did this in a video this week. If you look at the moves in the S&Ps, from 2011 after the correction up through August of 2015, that move lasted 44 months. And that's not bottom to the top. That's just when the S&Ps climbed over a 21 monthly moving average and then started their ascent higher all the way through August of 2015. We're only 23 months into this move for utilizing the same parameters. So some of the most dangerous language you can say is it can't go any higher. A lot of people said that from 2011 all the way through 2015, missing out on a tremendous move in the markets. What you got, Don?
That's it. You want to talk sectors?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is a week, Tim, where there was very broad participation across the indexes. We had the NASDAQ and the NASDAQ 100 up over 3%, S&P 500 up over 2%, Dow over 1%, mid-caps over 1%, and the smaller caps still lagging but around 1%. From a sector standpoint within the S&P 500, you had basic materials, energy, and tech up all more than 3%. You had healthcare and consumer discretionary up more than 2%. Financials and industrials up over 1%. Staples about flat, and real estate and utilities down over 2%. So from a good, bad, and ugly standpoint, the bad for the week was what happened to the defensive sectors. And that clearly is showing that any fears that people had about the turning of the calendar going to start a sell-off because people were going to lock in profits and just defer the taxes into 2018, that absolutely hasn't happened. Hasn't even been close to happening. I mean, emerging markets were up over 4% this week. Semiconductors up over 5%. Builders up 3%. Oil services up 6%. Metals and mining up over 2%. Transports up over 2%. Just didn't happen. Bonds were also weak, along with the defensive sectors that I mentioned this week. But are we getting ahead of ourselves? Possibly. Will we revert to the mean? Yes, we will. We don't know when. And trying to pick a top, if you picked a top on 12/31, you just missed out on all the gains that I referenced that showed up in extreme strength this week. So the bad, as I mentioned, defensive sectors. The good this week was if you were in FANG and then add NAB, FANG NAB onto the end of that. So we have Facebook up over 5%, Amazon up over 4%, Netflix over 9%, Google over 5%. NVIDIA up over 11%, Apple the laggard up paltry 3%, and Alibaba up over 9%. So a lot of the things that sold off on that 1129, sort of a huge volume sell-off on the NASDAQ, 1129, people piled back into them this first week of the new year. And those are the things that are leading the market this week, as there's been there was a rotation away from them in December. Money flowed clearly back into them this week. Small caps lagged a little bit this week. And two things that were strong in December that continue to be strong is, again, XME, metals and mining, and XLE, oil, across the board showing strength, as well as commodities. Look at the another ETF that I've been tracking, DBC. Gold, GLD, is looking pretty good, although it lagged a little bit this week. So there are a lot of areas where there's participation, and you just need to look for low-risk entry points across these. And so that was the bad and the good. The ugly is very frequently they're biotech. Sometimes the biotech doesn't even have to fail a trial to be down. But Regenex, RGNX, down 20% today just because they're delaying data. You don't even have to miss data, but just the fact that you're delaying data and so many people are betting on positive results from stocks like this, they head for the hills at the first sign of weakness. And so RGNX down 20% was the ugly for the week.
You know, I think it's interesting when I keep hearing people talk to me, or I don't know if you're hearing this on your Twitter. I say hearing. People write into us. They think they've missed the move. And I encourage you to just pull up some monthly charts of NVIDIA. Don talked about NVIDIA. I'll talk about NVIDIA. NVIDIA is sitting on a beautiful monthly base. And you haven't missed anything in NVIDIA. If you're a shorter-term trader, I get it. But if you pull up the monthly chart of NVIDIA, or you could even pull up a monthly chart of, say, RealPage, which is ticker symbol RP. Excuse me as I tried not to cough on you. Or you can even pull up the biotechs on a monthly level. XBI is, Don just talked about biotechs. They're sitting really nice in monthly bases. Now, is that a little too long for some investors? Yeah. But Doug, you have to be able to take a 10,000 foot view every now and then and see where we are in time and space. And then that helps you narrow down what you're looking at and where you want to enter. And then something else that just cannot be missed, and Don has nailed this trade consistently in 2017, and it'll continue here in 2018, is the Boeing trade. And Boeing has just been nothing but fantastic. And one way I haven't invested the portfolios that I run in Boeing. I've used ITA, which is the defense sector ETF, which is about 11 or 12% Boeing. And Don's bought pure Boeing. And both are yielding just tremendous results. It's just how you attack it in its different styles, and it doesn't make either one of them right or wrong. It just makes it different ways to do it. But Boeing is nothing short of fantastic. You would think they are the only plane company in the world the way the stock acts right now, and it's fantastic. And it continues to drive the Dow. Just kudos to you, Don, for continuing to nail the Boeing trade.
Yeah, and it's also got a 2.3% dividend. That's been one of the cornerstones of the blue chip income portfolio for the last 4 or 5 months that I mentioned. But man, nice breakout today on volume too. And even if you look at after a nice, perfect, all virtually perfect 3 weeks tight, which I know you talk about a lot is one of your favorites, but beautiful 3 weeks tight after a 20% move up out of a base. So this is the continuation that you look for in a stock like that.
And Boeing is
only.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Still only 5% above its 21-day exponential moving average. So really, this last three and a half weeks gave the 21 a chance to catch up to the sideways action after the strong move. So.
Yeah, that's
the strength at a new high too.
Yeah, and so what Don's referencing that 3 weeks tight pattern is a continuation pattern, and typically when a stock or an ETF moves up 20%, 15-20%, it trades sideways for a number of days or weeks, hence 3 weeks tight, and then if the story of the market and the stock are still intact, it'll continue higher, typically another 15 or 20%. Boeing's just getting started. NVIDIA is just coming up on another buy point, a potential entry point. I mean, a lot of people think the market's way too extended, overvalued, and two of the best stocks in the entire market, Boeing and NVIDIA, are just setting up to make moves again. You have to be able to look at this in different time frames from a charting perspective. You just have to be able to do that. Or you'll continuously be on the sidelines complaining about the market.
Yeah, a lot of those stocks that you mentioned, Tim, are just now forming the right side on the monthly chart, the right side of their base. And although it's been a pretty quick move up over the last 2 weeks from them, if you step back and take that longer-term view, it's just the right side of the base. And what's typically follows when you're building the right side of the base is a little bit of a handle. So a controlled pullback into the ADMA would be a very low risk, nice entry point for some of these things that have run hard over the last week to 2 weeks.
And so with that, stock nerds and market lovers, before I let you suffer along with me here with this horrible sounding voice, we want to thank you. We had a tremendous viewership download cycle with you in 2017. Just records almost every week of people who are watching us or listening to the show. So we just want to say thank you. Hopefully that continues in 2018. We can't do it without you. So a huge note of thanks. If you like what you hear on the show and you want to become a client of the firm or just have questions about the things that we're talking about, the easiest way to do is get a hold of us is 855-REAL-WEALTH. We don't spam you. We're never going to ever hound you with salespeople. We don't have any. We're too busy working. And so if you want to become a part of the family, you just got to call and ask. If you have any questions that you just feel more comfortable with email, that's Don at Revere Asset or Tim at Revere Asset, if I can get it out of my mouth. And then Danny, who will be back next week, that's Dan at Revere Asset. We'll leave you with one bonus stock. Those of you that choose to listen through the entire credits, Square, SQ, appears to be setting up. And with that, Don, any final words?
I think we covered it, Tim, pretty well.
All right. We'll see you next week on Your Money.